I'm wondering, it might not be that the prices are being juggled so much by the merchants.
Yes.
But I think there was complaints from the relief office that people using the script could obtain anything, practically anything, with the script.
They sure they could.
But was
it? Oh, you mean they have to? It should be what it's meant for, groceries.
Right. I think
there's a grocery and there's a rent script. Mm-hmm. See, sometimes you get a script for paying your rent in a house, which I told you I had a little house there, and I never charged. The people still live in today, and you go to them, and they say Harry never ever charges rent for that place. Mm-hmm. When they got the, now there's a thing I could say that to you. They'd bring me that rent slip. I forget what it was, but I would take it as rent. I'd give them groceries for it.
I see.
Because I never, I could have taken it and put it in my pocket, but I let them use it for, we were only a step behind, a step ahead of the worker, because the businessman didn't make any money. They just went along.
At one stage, I think that they specified on the relief script exactly what people could buy.
Clothing too, another thing.
And, or even, you know, they could only buy beans and rice. And
oh, no.
Kind.
No, such a thing.
No?
Because those days there was a lot of dried goods. There was dried beans that mother used to soak overnight.
Right.
Not canned beans. You know, there was canned beans, but I mean, there wasn't to the extent that there was, like in the old days, and there wasn't dates put up in packages. There was no package goods. There was a damn big, we used to have to crack it open, and the dates, and you dig them out with a fork and sell them that way. It's bulk lines. The big barrels of biscuits, broken biscuits that the factories used to, once in a while, you could get them. Mm-hmm. And you see some of the old ladies coming in there, you know. And do you remember these biscuits had that sugar on one side, like icing on one side? You know, kids used to have. They'd pick all them out and say, now cut it out. Now this is broken biscuits. You take them as they are. You scoop them, you see. But not very often.
Being that the community was mainly, like you were saying, workers with lunch pails and whatnot, besides the municipal relief, how did the unemployed up around Capitol Hill and that organize to help themselves? Or
block systems, what they call a block system. That was a CCF movement. A block would get, or two blocks would go together. It just depends how many children there was in the block, you know. And they would, helped them along is that I knew fellas I dealt with, like I mentioned to you in that last one, the Window Bakery, which is not in existence today, but he was a friend, and he, big factory, and making cakes and bread, and he said to me one day, he said, I got a lot of stale cake and a lot of stale bread, Harry, send it up. And they sent it up, and I'd get in touch with Kenny Wilson, who was one of the block men, what we call block supervisors, and they'd take it and they'd give it according to the family that a man had, you know, and they would do that. Then the fellas would go down to F.R. Stewart's down at Cadova Street, and that's the greengrocers where they have these bananas and all and everything coming in, and they'd get all the when a carload of or a boatload of bananas come in, there's a lot of greens ones fall off, and they get them and they ripen them, and they become, you know, a banana ripens up pretty good. Apples are pecked apples, we say. They cut that off, and then the apple is perfectly. Gee, what did this guy just want to eat? Yeah, there, what ground they had, they'd grow potatoes and things like that. They were bad times, you know. There wasn't any work at all.
So your store used to get some of the from the bakery, some of the
baked goods.
And yes. They used to go down the unemployed organization. They also used to use F.R. Stewart.
F.R. Stewart's, and I don't think they're in business now. And they were very good in giving the block fellas the bad fruit.
Right.
And they could use it to good,
Were there any other...
they'd go away. Yes, another thing. They'd go down to the fish wharfs when the fish boats come in. And get that all the fishermen were very good too. Mention them too, because the fishermen was very good to them.
Yeah.
And everybody helped each other. You can't believe how they did help each other. Really did.
Can you? What other things did the block committees
do? Well, there's community hall entertainment. All the women would get together and they'd. Somehow they'd dash up some sandwiches and they'd go down to community hall and we could go down there. Anybody from the community could go down there and go enter for 2 bits. We danced. There's a little, maybe 3-piece orchestra, one of our own bunch. And but nobody went down to shows or anything. They didn't have the money.
Did they ever get involved in political action?
With the longshoremen did, and that's where the CCF was very foolish those days. I think so, because I was a CCF member too at that time. But I quit them later on because I could see the handwriting on the wall. They were pink and getting pinker, you know what I mean?
Mm.
And we really don't want that. We don't want to live like Russians do, though I think it's quite all right. They're getting along. They haven't got any. Or have they? Have they got any hard times over there? Don't know whether they ever hear, do you?
Mm-hmm.
Don't hear anything. Anyway, they had the strike, the longshoremen strike, too, at around about that time. And I know I was mixed up in that a lot because George Thomas, he was the organizing secretary for the Longshoremen's Union, he was a good friend of ours. This is what I didn't believe in. They notified what they call the Cossacks. They call them Cossacks, you see, mounted police.
Mm-hmm.
They notified them that they were going to pull a strike off down there. Instead of pulling it off without telling the Cossacks, because then the Cossacks went down there and with their whips and cut up to pieces.
Is this Valentine?
Yes, period, Valentine period. Right? That's right, dude. That's right. That's right, Donna. There were bad freakers down there. And the longshoremen were they were all the same, too. The CCF had quite a sway.
Now, you don't associate the unemployed organizations.
No, you mentioned that before. I didn't know them.
With the CCF movement that you're speaking of.
No, I don't think so.
The block committees are something independent of
oh, yes,
these other political parties.
You know? It's just a bunch of neighbors, let's say.
Spontaneous.
They call it blocks, but that's mine. Oh.
Do you want to turn yours
off? No, it's all right. It's off. It goes off itself.
Okay.
So, same as yours does. There it goes up, see. It's all clear. I'll listen to that after a while and say, silly bugger, why don't you let somebody else talk instead of yourself?
Anyway, so the block committees were more spontaneous. There's something that grew out of the committee, out of the community.
Out of the
community itself.
Dire need for something to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, before that, it was known, sure, it must be known, it must be written, that they would be responsible for the feeding of the population, the municipalities, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the government, in other words, and they had to give them this script. But we never, people before that was out of work years and years ago, never had anywhere to go to get anything.